Some sayings you have that speak of people like me. Born with a silver spoon in my mouth, born on third base and thought I'd hit a triple. Privileged bloodline, or as they say, a trust fund baby. That was me. Born wealthy, favorite son to a rich daddy. I had everything, except one thing, humility. God would grant me that gift through mistreatment by my family and the long years as a slave and prisoner that followed.
Joseph finds out that his brothers hate him so badly that they are willing to kill him or sell him into slavery. Their hatred leads to Joseph becoming the most influential man in Egypt, a man who was chosen by God to save his country and his family.
My first big break came when my brothers threw me into an empty well. My second big break came when, instead of killing me, they sold me as a slave to a caravan of foreign traders. And my lasting memory of my brothers, watching them eat lunch while I was hauled off in copper chains. I guess that makes them sound like a bad bunch of guys, but you know, truth be told, they'd endured nearly 20 years of me as the insufferable favored child of our father. I made their lives unbearable, lording my privileges over them, tattling on them, my special clothes. I even told them of my dreams where they would someday bow down to me. Of course, those dreams were to come true, but did I need to throw that in their faces? So, there I was at the bottom of the well. I prayed to God for two things: that I would remain faithful to him, and that I would be the method by which God would fulfill his promises to my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. God granted me those prayers, but not necessarily in the way I meant them, or with the timing I'd hoped for, something you may have experienced in your own life. God did allow me to remain faithful to him by unexpectedly giving me some incredibly useful spiritual gifts, and by placing me in some unique situations. The first promise that God fulfilled through me was not one that came to mind at the bottom of the well. One of God's first promises to Abraham was that for 400 years his descendants would be strangers in a land in which they would be mistreated and enslaved. Well, at the end of that time, they would come out of that country with great possessions. I was the first step in the fulfillment of that promise. What I prayed for at the bottom of the well was God's promise to my forefathers that their descendants would become a great nation. In my prayer, I meant for my descendants to be a great nation. Instead, God meant for that promise to be fulfilled primarily through my brother, Judah. My important role was to protect Judah and make his family prosperous. Walking a couple hundred miles in copper chains with little food and water was the jumpstart I needed to gain some needed humility and trust in God. I gained more humility in Egypt. They examined me like a donkey in the public square. Fortunately, Potiphar, the captain of the guard for Pharaoh, purchased me. Funny, thinking your new owner is a lucky break, but that's what happens when you've been, cut down to size. No matter what the assignment, God gave me great favor to be successful. Potiphar soon noticed that and chose me as his personal attendant, put me in charge of his household, and entrusted everything he owned to me. The more Potiphar entrusted to me, the more God blessed him. With me in charge, Potiphar only concerned himself with what was on the menu for his next meal. With all due humility, I was well-built and handsome. Servant girls vied for my attention, but I wasn't interested in them. My master's wife also vied for my attention, unfortunately. She was rather blunt, invited me to her bed day after day. Not only did I refused to even be alone with her. One day, I was in the house to do my work. None of the other servants were inside. And she accosted me when I wasn't looking. She grabbed my coat and demanded I take her to bed. I ran out of the house, left my coat behind. I guess that was the last straw for her. As they say, hell has no fury as a woman scorned. She called the servants into her room, showed them my coat, accused me of trying to rape her. And later she told Potiphar the same story. He was furious, put me in prison where the king's prisoners were held. Down on my luck. Is that the phrase? Once again, the Lord gave me great favor. I eventually became the warden's attendant in charge of the jail. Two of the king's prisoners were his cupbearer and the baker. They both had a dream, a rather interesting dream, both of them. And they were anxious to have them interpreted. I said that God had the power to interpret dreams. When those words came out of my mouth, I may not have fully realized how my whole world would change. But from then on, I would forever give credit to God, instead of making myself the center of attention. I listened to their dreams and interpreted them accurately. I asked the cupbearer that when he was released and restored to his position as the dream predicted, to please remember me to Pharaoh. I did not ask the baker for anything because his dream portended he would die. He did die, and the cupbearer released, and promptly forgot his obligation to me. Back to square one. 2 years later, Pharaoh had two troubling dreams, to put it mildly. None of the wise men or magicians could interpret the dreams. Pharaoh was getting angry, a disaster in the making. When the cupbearer finally remembered me, Pharaoh had me brought from the dungeon after I was shaved and bathed. Pharaoh said that he heard I had the ability to interpret dreams, just as I told the cupbearer and baker. I can't, but God can, and will. When you read that verse in the Bible, it can sound almost cutesy. However, if I made that claim, and it didn't happen, I would have been executed. And who knows how God would have fulfilled his promises to Abraham. Pharaoh proceeded to tell me two dreams. In the first, he's standing by the river when seven fat cows come out of the river and graze. After them, seven ugly, skinny cows come out and eat the fat cows, but they remain ugly and skinny. In the second dream, Pharaoh sees seven perfect heads of grain on one stalk. After them, seven thin, withered heads sprouted and ate the first seven perfect heads. Well, through me, God revealed to Pharaoh that these two dreams meant the same thing. God was about to provide 7 years of excellent harvest, followed by 7 years of severe famine that would overcome the first 7 years. Well, the message was provided in two dreams to emphasize that God would do it, and do it soon. Before Pharaoh could respond, I continued with wise advice from God. I advised him to find an insightful and discerning man to take charge of the land and commissioners under him. They should take 20% of the harvest in the first 7 years and store it up in designated cities. Well, that grain was to be used to sustain the country in the following 7 years. It was risky giving Pharaoh that advice because it insinuated that he was not capable of executing that plan himself. He was humble enough to realize he was not the right person. Looking around the room, he realized that I was the right person, the most insightful and discerning person in the room. Wise because God endowed me with those characteristics. Pharaoh put me in charge of the plan. I was second only to him in the whole country. He gave me his ring, robes of fine linen, a gold chain, and rode with me in a chariot to impart that power in front of the people. He gave me a wife. She was the daughter of the priest. From the dankest dungeon to the second most powerful person in Egypt. In the world. And I'm only 30. I knew it was not through my own power, but from God's grace. I had finally learned the humility that eluded me in my childhood. For the next 7 years, I executed the plan just as God told me. I stored up grain in all of the cities of Egypt. We stored so much that we could not keep track of it all. It was like the sand of the sea. It wasn't all work and no play during that time, though. My wife and I had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Those names reminded me of my family. My family. Not a day went by that I didn't think of my family back in Canaan. I thought of my father, how he loved me so much. I thought of the robe he gave me. It was magnificent. Oh, it would pale in comparison to any one of my everyday robes in Egypt, but it meant so much because I thought of my brothers. Some days I wanted revenge for what they did to me. Other days I wanted to reward them. Most days I just wanted to be with them and just be brothers. Every single day, I thought of the promises God had made to my forefathers. I had two sons. Would they become great nations? I had fabulous wealth and armies at my disposal. Should I conquer Canaan and give it to my father and brothers? That was certainly within my power. Every day, I asked God to reveal to me what I should do to remain faithful to Him. With my power, there were so many possibilities. But, no big revelations came to me. No big dreams. Just this message. Keep doing what you were supposed to do. Okay. The good times flew by. And then the famine hit. Not only in Egypt, but in many other countries. As the people of Egypt began to get hungry, they came to me. I sold them grain. When people from other countries came, I sold them grain too, but at a much higher price. People the world over learned, you can't eat silver and gold. By the time the famine was over, Pharaoh owned the vast majority of everything in Egypt. Through God's guidance and my diligence, he prospered greatly. He wanted to reward me, and I knew just how he could do it.